morning. Sandy Williams sitting in for Earl Ingram.
Sam, how do people call into this show?
Give us a call or a text here, 844-967-2789.
And this morning, I thought one of the things we might talk about, the news this morning was that Boeing, the company that makes airplanes, but they also make military equipment, are moving their headquarters. It's sort of a gypsy. Most of their facilities were located in Seattle 25 years ago. Then they decided to move at least their headquarters to Chicago for whatever strategic reasons they were thinking about. Today they announced that they're moving their headquarters to Washington, D.C. Now, isn't that a recognition of an actual cynical fact? And that is that a company like Boeing, which is really one of the most important company corporations and manufacturers in the United States, it's one of the only two major world manufacturers of commercial aircraft, and it also makes aircraft and other forms of military equipment. And they're moving to Washington, D.C. Well, what's in Washington, D.C.? What's the great asset in Washington that would prompt a corporation like that to move there? Well, it isn't workers. No, it's the government. It's the seat of government. It's the place. It's adjacent to K Street. That address that we've talked about early on other shows, the address in Georgetown in Washington, D.C., where lawyers and lobbyists locate themselves so they can exert influence in and on both the politicians of Washington and the public policies we adopt. And Boeing is clearly moving their headquarters so they can have a much more direct influence on the policies of our government. Remember Boeing. Boeing is the company that's regulated by the Aeronautics Agency, the Federal Aeronautics Agency of the United States, with respect to airline safety. And, of course, they ran amok in that regard a couple of years ago with respect to the aeronautical approvals and the regulatory processes involved with the approvals for the Dreamliner, the airplane they manufactured, which had a variety of safety problems. Are they wanting to get closer to Washington so they can do a better job on product safety? Or do they want to do a better job on lobbying the government to get those approvals? And do they want to get into Washington so they can have an easier course towards getting more government contracts and getting the kind of political action that they want? Well, obviously, it's all the latter. And so here we have a poster child demonstrating to us how it is that our government policies are set. Our government policies are set by the cozy relationship between major corporations and our government. And Boeing is moving to Washington in a clear recognition of that very fact, a headquarters in Washington so that they can exert more influence in and on our seat of government. And we as citizens should be concerned about this. I know that that Bernie Sanders and the progressive movement have long been pointing their fingers at this very problem, but now we have a clear example of it. And all of the money that's spent on lobbying and all the dark money that's been going into government, particularly since Citizens United, is clearly making the public policy we set more distant from the citizens of this country and the voters of this country. And one of the areas that it's most distant from and remote from us is the establishment of our foreign policy. The foreign policy, like something as euphemistically established as our strategic ambiguity with respect to our policy towards China. Now, you would think that our policy towards a country as remarkably important today as China could be described in something more concrete than strategic ambiguity. But no, we've decided that we would use this because we don't really want to be honest with, I guess, ourselves, or we want to leave open for political discussion what it is exactly is our policy regarding Taiwan. Taiwan falls directly within and is the reason for our strategic ambiguity. It also falls under something that we've long been committed to, which is one China. One China means that Taiwan does indeed belong to mainland China. It means that to the extent that we have never recognized Taiwan as a government, as a freestanding country, Taiwan doesn't appear in the Olympics. Taiwan is not across most of the world recognized as a freestanding country. But now we're beginning to come up against the very serious issue of what are we going to do about Taiwan if, in fact, China decides to exercise its control over Taiwan more directly than it has. And we've got people now like Joe Biden feeling it necessary to say, as he stands in Tokyo this morning, that we would get militarily involved if China decides to try and move on Taiwan in a military fashion. Now, the only reason China would have to move on Taiwan in a military fashion is if Taiwan is armed by the rest of the world to the extent that it would constitute a military threat to, or that its defense would require a military action by China. It's much the same situation that we created in Ukraine. Georgia, in the same vicinity, Georgia, the country of Georgia, which is immediately adjacent to Russia and was part of the USSR, and had exactly really the same geopolitical circumstance as Ukraine, had elected to its leadership in the early 2000s a fellow who had been educated at Columbia University, was totally westernized, became the leader of the Georgian government, announced his intention to try and move Georgia in a direction towards a warmer relationship with the West by, for instance, potentially joining the European Union and even potentially joining NATO. And Russia, who had a base in Georgia, according to an agreement with Georgia, put more of its military in Georgia, and Putin gave a call to this leader and basically said, "You really think this is a good idea? Aren't you really here located in the geopolitical sphere of influence of Russia? And don't you really want to be much tighter with Russia than you do with NATO and the West?" And he changed his mind. And we did not send weaponry to Georgia. And Georgia has, subsequent to that time, become essentially an ally of Russia for many purposes. But at the same time, it has continued to trade extensively with the West. It has extensive dealings with the European Union without being a member of the European Union. And it is thriving. And no one is talking about Georgia as being a problem in terms of its ability to operate democratically or in whatever political fashion it chooses to operate. And the reason for that was that the West did not decide to arm Georgia to a capacity where it felt that it could resist the geopolitical influence of Russia. But that's what we did with Ukraine. And Ukraine has decided to resist and thumbed its nose at Russia and became the object of the kind of attention that now Russia is giving it, which is military. And isn't that really the only way that Taiwan would become the object of the military attention of China? And so we have to ask ourselves whether the policies which are unannounced and even unknown to us, like the policies we had with respect to Ukraine and Georgia and Belarus and Chechnya, whether those policies unannounced to us don't end up having a significant effect on us and a significant effect on our budget. Because here we are now, post-Ukraine invasion and dealing with the threat to Taiwan that is now being identified, and we're talking about increasing our defense expenditures to $1 trillion. You know, if you annualize the expenditures this year, $53 billion to Ukraine over the space of 6 months, so the beginning of this invasion and the end of February, and the $53 billion is identified as taking us out through September. So it's not the end of this if the conflict continues. You annualize that and we're over $1 trillion already. So here we go. I've got monkeypox. I'm talking like a monkey. We're going to a break. We'll be back.